we thank God for an opportunity to, just before the first of the year, to have a session of Bible study slash church with my grandchildren. I thank God that you're here. We won't begin to name names. I had asked them if they didn't mind if I record this session, because it's always something that we can learn just by listening to others as they engage. Now, what we have a reader here, and what's happening is that Charles IV is one of our readers that we have here. So we just thank God. We just finished with prayer, and we're moving into this scripture's coming from today. It's coming from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, but we started with the 8th chapter mainly because in the 8th chapter and the 9th chapter is talking about giving. And as we read through that, we're using scripture to define just that, talking about giving. We are on the 13th verse, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 13. And he's going to start reading from there. And would you speak up, please, because you're being recorded.
Yes, sir. For I mean not that other men be eased in ye burden, but by any equality, that now at this time your abundance may be supplied for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for their want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the
exhortation,
but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in this sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes provided diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquiry of Titus, he is my partner and my fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren, be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches in the glory of the Christ. Wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf.
Amen. Amen. That was the whole chapter of the 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, and as I said, chapter 8 and 9 was pretty much saying the same thing. This is talking about giving, you know. And as we move over to chapter 9, what happens is that it sets us up to discuss the art of giving. When you give to someone, you know, how does that make you feel? You know, what happens is that God is challenging us to look within our hearts when we actually try to help somebody. When I give to you or you, what happens is that God is saying, why did you give? Did you give because you're expecting something in return? What is the condition of your heart? God has given us a heart check in chapter 8 and 9. But what we're going to do, we're going to turn over to chapter 9. And what's going to happen is that my granddaughter, you read that first verse at one time before, and I'm going to ask you to read that one verse again. This is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Okay? Can you do that for me? Read. Give me that first verse. Go ahead.
For as touching the
ministering
to the saints.
Speak up, please.
Saints, it is super.
Phileas?
Superfluous.
Yes.
For me to write to you.
Yes. Okay. What happens is that, okay, the word superfluous, as I said, this is an interpretation they put into English, but actually it was Greek being interpreted into English. Now, superfluous, I'm gonna use the English term. It is, you know, silly for us to be writing this unto you because you should know these things. This is silly for us to be writing to you. You know, other words, he's almost making a joke out of it. This is silly of us to even explain to you. For you know the forwardness of your mind. This is verse 2. For which I boast of you to the Macedonians. You know, because guess what? Paul is saying, guess what? I boast of your giving. I tell everybody about your giving. You know, when people, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. When I think in terms of how God has given to me, it humbles me. It humbles me when I think, you know, over the course of my life, how God has blessed me and he has kept me and he helped me in some terrible situations, you know, and I said, I get humbled, you know. So with Paul here, he said, you know, it's silly for me to even try to explain to you about God's giving or about the giving of the saints and what's that, that the Corinthian saints and which they have given, because I've been telling everybody about your giving. Your giving is well known throughout all the country. You know, I boast of you to them in Macedonia. Otherwise, as he goes throughout the region, he's telling everybody about their giving. You know, and that's the way it is. You know, you sometimes when you help people in Carinon, people can't help but to say something. I look at those people that Christ helped when he gave eyesight to the blind. They couldn't help but to tell somebody. Or when he cleaned the leopards, you know, you had one leper that came back and said, thank you. Thank you. All my life I've been like this and you cleaned me. Thank you. Or the healing of certain individuals in the family. People say, thank you. You know, you can't help but to get humbled when God has done something for you. But we're going to move on. He talks about how that when he goes to different places, he can't wait but to share that. And you look at verse 3 and says, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. In this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Least happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. You know, in other words, he's just saying, hey, listen, I done told these people about you, you know, and you have given constantly, you know, and I want you to be prepared. But I'm letting you know in advance. That's what I'm talking about. I'm telling other people about it. You know, and I'd be saying, what a mighty God we serve. Look how far God has brought us from, you know. And it goes on and says, I'm going to look at verse 5. It says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. You know, in other words, he's saying, listen, you know, God has blessed us, you know. We're just giving out of the goodness of our heart. And this is not, oh, I've got something and wish that I'm helping somebody. You know how you got people and say, yeah, I had to help them out. I had to give them some food because they was in need. You know, no. Giving it out of the goodness of your heart. You know, you're not looking for anything back. Oftentimes you got people saying, well, I gave to you, so I'm expecting you to do this. If I did this for you, you're supposed to do this for me. If I did this for you, then you need to do this for me. You know, God says, no, out of the goodness of your heart. Because guess what? If you're looking for a reward, that's your reward. But if you give, you know, out of the goodness of your heart, guess what? You may not see reward now, but you will. Because, you know, they even wrote a song about it. You know what the song said? You can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. You know? And I love that song because guess what? It has proven real for me. And that is that you try to exceed God-given, you can't. You know, I don't care how much you give or You know, you can't. Somebody said, you know, that was foolish. That was foolish. No. Even when you give to the poor, even when you give to the needy, even when you give to the sick. You know, one thing in which that God holds, you know, I love when I read scriptures and it talks about, I am the father to the fatherless, you know. So the widows, the fatherless, you know, the true widows. You know what true widow is? True widow is somebody that's over 60 years old and ain't got no children or nothing like that. And guess what? You help them. You know, the widow of the fatherless is somebody in which that God said, okay, I've taken your father home. I'm your father now. That's what God says. I've taken your father home. I'm your father now. You know? So guess what? He'll make sure you got provisions. And it reminded me one time of my grandson was that we're getting ready for a school trip. And I said, well, is your school trip paying for it? He said, no, Pop, but I believe I'm going. You know? And, you know, it's about faith. It's about faith. You know, because without faith, can anybody finish that?
Without faith, you have nothing.
Without faith, can somebody help me?
It's impossible to please God.
Amen. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We try to do a lot of things. But if you don't have any faith in what you're doing, it don't mean nothing. What a mighty God we serve. Okay, but let me look at here. It says, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully, shall reap bountifully. Every man according as the purpose in his what? Heart? As having purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth the cheerful. It's about what's in your heart, you know? You know, whether it's Christmas, whether it's this or whatever, you're just trying to be very, very helpful. God loves a cheerful giver. Anybody in which that's going to give, you know, that's going to do it out of the goodness of the heart, you can't beat God's giving. You try that. Try it. Try God. I often like to tell people, okay, you've tried everything. You try to do it on your own. You try to do it by just thinking that you know what's best, you know. Try God and see how that works out for you, you know. It's not easy trying God because sometimes, you know, I don't know about nobody else. Sometimes you want to get even. They did me wrong. I want to get even, you know. Let God, you know, God says, I will fight your battles. Stay focused on what I told you to do. Stay focused on what I do. Don't let them distract you. Stay focused on what I, because guess what? When they're distracting you out going out here and you're trying to get, you're trying to get even with them, now God got to bail you out. You know, so stay focused on what God has told you to do. And understand this, you can't be God's giving no matter how hard you try. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure. When you're beautiful people, keep your heart pure. What a mighty God we serve. And it goes down, and I'm going to ask my sister here to pick up on verse 8. And can you read that throughout, please?
Yes. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, but both minister bread to for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits for your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which comes through us thanksgiving, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Mm-hmm. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, while by the experience of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection into the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Mm-hmm. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen. Amen. Now, what happens is that oftentimes, you know, what I shared with somebody, matter of fact, I had shared with my youngest son and I had told him, I said, you know, when you got somebody blessing you, when somebody blessing you, when a church is blessing you, when a ministry is blessing you, you know, do you run out here and give to anybody? Who are you supposed to give to? You're supposed to feed that ministry that has fed you. If, you know, oftentimes, you know, people want to take from that ministry. They take from the ministry. They take from the ministry, but you don't put nothing back. So guess what? Then when the ministry don't have anything to give, everybody's sitting around here talking about, oh, you ain't effective no more. No, you know, when a ministry is feeding you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, then what happens is that you have to learn how to filter back and feed that ministry just as well. But do it with the right motive in your heart. Do it with the right motive in your heart. How oftentimes have you thought about who have given to you? And have you given anything back? What a mighty God we serve. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, and it started with God. God so loved the world that he
gave his only begotten son.
He gave, you know. God started it out. He showed us what real love was all about. You know, we got a board in there on the wall in Canada, talked about love, how love is long-suffering. Love is kind. And I tell my granddaughter, I said, hey, when you're talking about looking at a guy, how do you know he loves you? Because he's supposed to be kind to you. He's
supposed to be patient.
He's supposed to be patient. Come on, can I get one more? He's
supposed to be kind, patient. Let me see.
Long-suffering?
Long-suffering.
Yes, come on.
There's another one, too.
Yes, no, there's about the... Okay. Okay, that's all right. You know, but guess what? Here's the thing. As I had put out a message earlier this week, and I said, learn to put God's word in your heart. Learn to put God's word in your... Because there's going to come a time. I even read the scripture now in the King James, in which that they have changed the whole magnitude of what the word initially had said to kind of fit society. You know? And I'm saying, this is crazy. How long before you get to a point where you won't even be able to find a true... resemblance of God's word, where they didn't change everything. That's why it says, that word have I hidden my heart, so I may not sin against thee, Lord. I've hidden that word so they can't steal it no more. Mm-hmm. You know, I know what the real words say. I have learned these scriptures. You know, oftentimes, I have a grandson, and what's that said? I didn't start writing scriptures up on the wall. Good, but did you memorize them? You know, you say them often enough. And how do you learn? How do you learn how to memorize things? Repetition, repetition, repetition. How did you learn how to walk? Repetition, repetition, repetition. How did you learn how to talk? Repetition, repetition, repetition. How did you learn your directions, how to get here, how to get there? Repetition, repetition, repetition. You know, so to God be the glory. As we journey in this here path, God wants us to be the best that we can be. As we journey to this here path, God has set out a direction, a map. You know, he's saying, follow this. If you look at Revelation, the first chapter, right around the first verse, if you read this here, you will be blessed. Satan don't want you blessed. He don't want you reading this. He don't want you reading this. He will distract you. He will put anything in your way to keep you from reading this word, because this opens up your eyes. This helps you to see what the real deal is. This is a camouflage. You got so much camouflage out there. You got people that run around here talking about, ain't this a coincidence that we meeting like this? And the whole time they done made plans to meet you at a certain place at a certain time. You know, God has a plan for your life too. And the plan starts with the reading of his word. And I just encourage each one of us. But this leads us to a point in which that I just thank God before the end of the year that we get an opportunity to not only to read the scriptures, but we get also get the opportunity to have communion, to have fellowship. This is what I love about the church. God says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. You know, so you know what the church is? The church is two or more people, you know? And as we look around, we got more than two or three people. So what that happens is that God is in the midst. The Holy Spirit is in the midst. And I just thank the Holy Spirit for coming out and helping these words just kind of flow out of my mouth, kind of flow out of my heart, you know, because without the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you wasn't getting much today, you know. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for giving me utterance. I thank God that as you read the scriptures, that it flowed smoothly, that the words became easy for you. And I give God all the honor, all the praise and the glory, because it's not you. It's not you. It's not me. It's nothing but God, you know, because the Holy Spirit is the real teacher. So we're going to get ready to have communion, and we thank God for this opportunity to teach, to share this. If you don't mind, I would like to send this here podcast out so that other individuals can hear those words of encouragement. And that's what it's all about, trying to encourage us during this journey, because these are tough times for people. These are tough times. It might be okay in your house now, but guess what? I know people that have had family members pass in the last couple days. I look at this state trooper that was just shot a day before Christmas at the motor vehicle. I mean, families are being disrupted. But guess what? I'm just trying to encourage. And that is, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Don't give in to Satan. Don't give up. You're special in the eyesight of God. Shall we prepare our hearts? You know, that's what I love about communion time. You know what communion time says? Is anybody worthy to really take communion? No. Is anybody really worthy to take communion?
No.
But it tells us to examine yourself. Examine your heart. Examine, think in terms of, what did I do right? What did I do wrong?
Examine your surroundings.
Hey, examine yourself. Forget about your surroundings. Examine yourself. You know, look within your heart and say, Lord, I didn't do everything right. I blew some things. You know, I had told the wife this morning, hey, I didn't blew some things. But guess what, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm in here. I'm trying. I'm reading the word. I'm looking for direction. You know, forgive me and help me to run this race strong. In the Lord. So, you know, examine yourself. Take a few minutes to examine yourself as we prepare for communion.